Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It is Monday, February 10. Good morning to you. It's 5:08. Bob Surratt on the radio and suffering from a pizza withdrawal or pizza interruptus. I don't know what you'd call this dilemma I have, but we went to an Oscar party last night. And I was told all weekend that there would be appetizers and then they were going to order pizzas. And I'm one of those people, I'm very neurotic about my diet and food. So all weekend I was thinking about this. So I passed up having any slices of pizza at various grocery stores and places I was at over the weekend. And I didn't, like on Friday night and Saturday night, I purposely avoided any cheese entrees. And then I'm all ready for my pizza Sunday, and then I guess there were just so many different appetizers that the host decided, nah, we don't need the pizza. So I need my pizza now.
Oh, that stinks. Well, didn't they have that. Some cheese appetizers that you could indulge in?
No. I mean, don't get me wrong. It was a very nice gathering, and they had some nice little tidbits to eat, but I was all ready for my pizza.
And you didn't go home and eat your frozen pizza?
No.
A frozen pizza?
No. You know, we left a little early so I could get home and get to sleep at a reasonable hour. Although, did they start the Oscars a little earlier than normal, or was that show actually a fast show? Because normally, doesn't that thing run like past 11? And it was over before 10:30,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
That's when it ended.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? No, I didn't make it that far. I made it to about 9:30, so missed the ending.
Yeah, I kind of, I always want, I said this last week, I always want the sort of long, mixed up program where people give speeches that go on forever. Everybody was pretty quick last night. They always want to streamline the show and say we're going to make the ratings better because we're going to really make it so that the it's faster paced, and I don't want that. I want these people to have all the time in the world to talk up there, because then you get some really weird stuff like Joaquin Phoenix. I'm still trying to figure out. I kind of thought at the beginning of that speech, okay, I'm with you here. And then all of a sudden when he got into livestock and so cows.
And milk.
Yeah, then you know, I got lost. We'll replay some of the highlights from last night this morning, including the part of that Joaquin Phoenix speech where he kind of went off the rails. And we also have to replay the opening monologue from Steve Martin and Chris Rock.
It's hilarious.
Wasn't that great?
They should have just hosted the show. Oh, I mean, come on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's coming up later on this morning. And, of course, when we talk to Dean Richards, and we always do that after 8 o'clock, he'll have the entire wrap-up. But before that, we'll get to some of the good stuff. It's 5:12. Shortly, we'll get to our first caller on the radio. That could be you. We always have a prize for that person at 312-981-7200. Let's see. Mary is in Traffic Center, and And Dave Bennett is off, so we have Andy Mazur at the sports desk this morning, and then Don Kleppen for Steve Grzanich in the newsroom. Hi, Don. How you
doing? Hey, Bob. Good. Good morning.
So we're all ready to roll. We're glad you're with us. If you want to get in touch with us, email bobshow@wgnradio.com, and our text number, same as the phone number. And by the way, momentarily, we'll see who's the first caller to get on the radio today, because we have a prize for that person. 312-981-7200. Right now, let's check in with Eric Rong, WGN-TV News, with more on that Chinatown crime. Good morning, Eric.
Yeah, good morning to you. A double homicide happened early Sunday morning in the 2000 block of South Wells. Police telling us that a man went with a gun up to three people, two men and a woman, and announced a robbery. The woman apparently complied with the man, and the two men resisted, according to police, and then he shot both men, told in the head, and then took off running. But police were actually very close and quick to capture this guy. We're told by a police source that they actually ran him down, tackled him. He still had his gun on him, even had the victim's blood on his clothing when they took him into custody. It's not clear right now what he got away with, as far as, or didn't get away with, I should say, but he is expected to be in court, or at least some charges are expected to be filed here sometime later today.
So as if there weren't enough troubles in Chinatown with people freaked out because of the coronavirus, and now I'm sure the folks are upset with this. It happened early Sunday morning, you said?
Yeah, it was right after 2 o'clock in the morning. And there was a business owner that owns a business down there in Chinatown. He spoke to one of the victim's families, told us that maybe one of the reasons why he may have resisted the robber was because he had a large sum of money on him. I guess he was going to be buying a car soon. This is according, again, to a business owner that talked to the family. So maybe that's why he didn't comply with what he said. Apparently, he had like $10,000 on him at the time.
And it sounds like police have this one wrapped up.
Yeah, they do. They're just really waiting for charges right now, and then he'll have to appear in bond court. A police source also telling me this morning, too, that this guy maybe shouldn't have been out. I guess he'd been charged in a couple of other different crimes, one being a robbery, but he was out. He was still awaiting a court date on that one, is what we've been told, too. We're going to learn a lot more, though, once this does get to bond court, some of his criminal history as well. Maybe give us a little bit better idea of exactly the timeline of how everything went down.
Eric Rung on the scene there for WGN-TV News. Thanks for the update on that, Eric. You have a good day.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you, sir. It is 5:19 right now. And Zoe, is that how you say your name?
Yeah. Usually people call me Zoe.
Okay.
It's Zoe, but then people confuse it with Joe, and I'm like, they don't get Zoe. Zoe's good.
Okay, glad we cleared that up. Zoe is our first caller on the radio. She's on the north side. I sound like I'm in an echo chamber, don't I?
Yeah. I have a bad phone.
Okay. Well, I don't have a new phone for a prize for you, but I do have... What do I have for you? A $50 gift certificate from Builder's Supply Outlet. There's so much more than kitchen cabinets. Check out The Edge, their state-of-the-art kitchen and bath showroom in Broadview. We'll get that out to you.
That is fantastic. We are constantly remodeling around my place. And I love WGN. I have been listening for years. And
well, thank you.
I have you on at all hours of the day and night.
Appreciate that. What do you do when you're not listening to the radio there, Zoe?
Well, I'm always listening to the radio. But I'm a caregiver.
Oh, good for you.
Home health.
Well, we need more people like you. Hold on, Zoe, and we'll get some information from you so we can get that prize to you, okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being the first caller. That's how it works here. You call in, you get on the radio early. And if you're number one, you get something. It's 5:21 right now. I thought of doing the entire show in Korean today in honor of Parasite being the big winner last night, but
We don't have a translator,
go
do
for
we?
It. Go for it.
Yeah. Parasite was the big winner last night, the first non-English language film to win Best Picture in the 92-year history of the Academy Awards. And also, it won, what do they call it? They don't call it Best Foreign Language Film now. They call it Best International Film, right? So it won for that. And it was a big night for that movie. Now, my wife loved that movie, and I don't know whether, you know how sometimes your mood can determine whether or not you like a movie, and maybe I was just too tired or something, but I didn't get it. But everybody I talked to loved it. I'm the only one who has anything negative to say about Parasite.
You got to really pay attention.
No, there you go. That was
besides
my problem.
The subtitles, which is fine. It was very easy to read, you know, follow with them talking and everything in Korean. But yeah, there's a lot of twists and turns in that movie, so you really gotta know what's happening. And I went by myself to this movie. So usually I like to ask a lot of questions during a movie. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have anybody to ask the questions to. So I really had to pay attention.
My wife claimed that I didn't like it because it had subtitles. But that's not true because there are many, many movies I've loved that were foreign films. So I'm not admitting to that crime. But I just, maybe I need to see it again.
Yeah, maybe you should, yeah, because, you know, you miss a lot of stuff in that movie.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. We did see Joker finally over the weekend, and, you know, I mean, it's very depressing, and it's very intense, but Joaquin Phoenix, I mean, I don't know anybody else who could have played that role, and he certainly deserved the Oscar, didn't he?
It was written for him, wasn't it? I mean, with him in mind?
Yeah.
And I do not want to see it at all. Yeah. It sounds so disturbing.
It's very disturbing.
I know he's a bizarre, great actor. I'll just take it with that.
You can't be in the mood for one. Let me forget my troubles and go to the movies. No. It's not one of those.
It's one of those movies where you feel like you're in a dentist's chair the whole time.
Really, it's intense in that the soundtrack. And I can't believe that, you know, they give out two music awards. Elton John won one of them, but the Joker was the winner.
Yeah.
And I really didn't think that was going to happen because it didn't sound very musical. It just sounded like a sound. I mean, it really worked in the movie, but there wasn't a melody in there, was there? But
no.
It really worked. It was something. It's 5:24. And I see where the daylight is going to increase through the remainder of the month. The day length, nearly an hour of daylight is going to be gained by the end of this month. So right now we have, if we would ever see the sun, which we don't anymore, but if you could, the sunrise would be at 6:55 this morning. And then on February 15th, the sunrise is earlier, 6:47. But the sunset starts to get later. This evening, the sun sets at 5:18. On the 15th, it sets at 5:23. And then by the end of the month, it'll set at 5:40. Get a lot of light there later on. And the sunrise will be earlier. Wait, is that right? Yeah, the sunrise will be earlier. Like the end of the month, the sunrise is 6:26. Sunset is 5:40 p.m. 11 hours and 14 minutes of daylight by the end of the month, and like right now it's 10 hours and 23 minutes. This is something to be happy about on a Monday morning.
Well, especially working this shift, then the sun will come up earlier.
Yeah, so. Yes, that's true.
Wake us up earlier.
So, Andy, the Blackhawks came out last night. Unlike what's been happening lately, they were ready to roll, yep. And then what happened?
Yeah, that's a good question. They were in the penalty box quite a bit yesterday. They gave up a shorthanded goal, so special teams kind of let them down a little bit in that game. But, you know, you start to think, and you're listening to the game and thinking, okay, 15 seconds in, that's not a bad start to a game. Dominic Kubalik with his 22nd, and Taves gets the milestone 800th point. And then they score again in that second period, and then the first period that is, and then they didn't score again, which was baffling.
And Crawford was in goal last night.
He was in goal, and I tell you, he deserved a little bit better fate. Two of those were empty net goals, so that they don't count against him. But he was visibly frustrated and a little upset with a couple of times where It seemed like Winnipeg Jets players were skating through the crease and bumping him a little bit, so he was starting to swing the stick a little bit. And after that third goal, the one that put the Jets ahead, he smacked his stick against the crossbar and broke that. So he was a little out of sorts.
And this is the beginning of the road trip, isn't it?
Yeah, first of five games, which is really weird because they started last night in Winnipeg, and then Sunday night they're going to end the road trip in Winnipeg.
Oh, is that right?
Which is really unheard of.
We're going to give away some Blackhawks tickets here later if you can be with us between 7:30 and 8. We have tickets to see the Hawks play Nashville. That's on Friday the 21st. And we'll figure out some way to give away those tickets a little later on. Rokan does that as well on Mondays. Tune in on Mondays with us in the morning and Ro in the afternoon. Four chances to win tickets to Blackhawks games from Four Seasons. So that's coming up. And all quiet on the baseball front this morning. When does everybody report for spring training?
I'm glad you asked that question because the Cubs pitchers and catchers report tomorrow to Mesa, Arizona. And the White Sox pitchers and catchers report Wednesday to Glendale, Arizona.
Well, that
so
feels
it's that
good.
Time of year.
Yeah, I like hearing that.
I do too.
I like hearing that. And do we talk about the Bulls anymore here?
Unless you want to mention the fact that they've lost five in a row now. They lost to Philadelphia yesterday. They have a record now of 1-21 against teams with winning records this year. And they're banged up, I get that. But still, it's been a little bit of an interesting season over there.
So we don't talk about them too
much. Yeah, we'll just kind of put them on the back burner a little bit here and hope that things improve and improve quickly. They're going to be in Washington, D.C. tonight to take on the Wizards.
And did I hear right that the big blockbuster trade is not going to happen?
Well, it's going to happen, but it's going to happen in a different form. This was supposedly a three-team deal between the Red Sox, the Dodgers, and the Twins. And now what it's going to be is a deal between the Red Sox and the Dodgers and the Dodgers and the Twins. Because the Red Sox were getting a prospect from the Twins that they didn't like the medicals on and kind of balked at the trade. So now that particular prospect is going to go to the Dodgers in a separate deal. So it's going to be two-team trades rather than one three-team deal. Does that make any sense?
I'm just trying to follow.
Yeah, it all got messed up because of the medical reports on one of the prospects that the Red Sox were supposedly getting back from the Twins as part of this three-team deal that was going to send Mookie Betts and David Price to the Dodgers. So, in essence, now what happens is the Dodgers and the Red Sox are still going to make their trade. Mookie Betts and David Price are still going to go to L.A., but the return is going to be a little different because now the Twins and the Dodgers have their own separate deal in place.
So have they calmed down in Boston? Would people still be upset there?
People are still going to be upset because they're not getting a great haul. They're getting some minor league deal, minor league players. One major league outfielder, Alex Verdugo, spent a little time with the Dodgers last year, but you know, when you trade an MVP and a guy that won a Cy Young way back when, it's kind of disheartening, especially when you're a big market team.
Yeah, it's a bit of a PR problem.
Yeah.
Orion Samuelson now with our agribusiness update.
Good morning. We begin this week, as we have for the past several weeks, with a look at the Chinese situation. The coronavirus death count has now surpassed the SARS death count that occurred early in this century. And in addition to the coronavirus, of course, China still battling with the loss of half of its hog numbers because of African swine fever. And over the weekend, China's top economic planner said that the country released an additional 10,000 tons of frozen pork reserves to ensure market supplies. That was the first time the country tapped into its pork reserves since the Lunar New Year holiday, with a total of 10,017 tons being released on Friday. It's a busy week on the farm calendar for farm equipment shows. Two major shows this week, Farm Machinery Show in Louisville, Kentucky, and the World Ag Expo in Tulare, California. And there will be good attendance of farmers at both of those events. And then we have the National Association of Conservation District's annual meeting in Las Vegas. That's getting underway tomorrow and will continue through much of the week. And then let me end this report on a very happy, positive note. Fort Worth, Texas Stock Show and Rodeo held this past week. The grand champion steer, a Hereford named Cupid Shuffle, sold to GKB Cattle for a record $300,000. The exhibitor, a 12-year-old, Ryder Day. He's going to have a good day and a good week, and I hope you do too. That's Ag Biz. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Why, thank you, sir. 539. So did everybody remember that list we had here on Friday? I think it was Friday or Thursday, about foods you don't actually need to keep in the refrigerator. I was thinking about this over the weekend. I was rearranging things, and now I have too much stuff on the kitchen counter because half of the things that I thought needed to be refrigerated actually don't. Like melons don't need to be refrigerated. Onions don't need to be refrigerated. Apples don't need to be refrigerated.
So you kind of need a crisper on your counter
yeah.
to put all these veggies
yeah.
and fruits in.
Exactly.
You know?
And I'm very excited this morning because I have some oatmeal that I'm going to have later. You know, I like that oatmeal you get at Starbucks. And my grocery store, Mariano's, they have a little kind of a Starbuckian stand in the store there. And they don't sell exactly what the other Starbucks stores do as far as oatmeal, but I guess I got a version of it, which is great because you just add hot water and then you can get everything on the side. And I don't get sugar. I'm trying to be healthy. So you can get like walnuts or almonds, and sometimes you can get like I think cranberries, and then you make your oatmeal. And then when they gave me the berries with this, and I was thinking, okay, so do they need to be refrigerated? And I thought about this list, and according to the list, you don't really need to do that. You don't need to keep the berries refrigerated. Let's see, where is this information? Here, typically a ripe fruit is a sweet fruit, which means that fruit that's kept at room temperature will ripen faster and develop more sweetness. Citrus fruit can be rather sour if it's not given enough time or space to ripen. Keep fruits like oranges, grapefruits, lemons, and limes out of the fridge. If you absolutely love cold oranges, store them outside of the refrigerator, but pop them into the fridge an hour or two before you want to eat them. And then I actually Googled berries, and I'll tell you what it said. Amuse yourself for a minute, and I'll tell
you. I always put blueberries, strawberries. I always put those in the refrigerator.
Well,
I don't have to now.
You know what? It's not that simple. Do you, if you're just joining us, this is the new format at WGN, a guy Googling things on the ones. Do you keep berries in the fridge?
You should have people for that to help you with the Google.
Yeah. Don't keep the berries in the crisper drawer. The humidity is too high and the air doesn't circulate as well. Put berries on a shelf instead. When you're ready to eat the berries, rinse them with cool water first to remove bacteria and dirt. Did that answer the question?
Yeah, now I need a berry shelf.
Fresh berries from your local farm taste amazing at room temperature. So it's the sooner the better for munching. For long-term storage, keep them in the fridge to avoid soggy or moldy berries. Rinse just before eating. So I guess if you're going to keep them for a long time, yes, keep them in there. But if not, you don't have to, which is good because they've been in my briefcase for 2 days.
Oh, they're going to be moldy. They have no air.
The humidity level there?
Well, I opened the briefcase okay. up right. this morning. It's 5:43. After a quick break here, we'll get to something left out of the In Memoriam at the Oscars last night, a really glaring omission. And then there was an actor and a famous game show panelist who was mentioned in there, and I remember thinking, what? Orson Bean died? How did I miss this? I know who's Orson Bean, but if you know who he is, you'll be interested in this story about what happened to him just Friday night. Anyway, we'll get to that coming up. And last night they had Billie Eilish sing Yesterday during the In Memoriam section of the Academy Awards. And there were a couple of omissions. Let's see here. Luke Perry and Cameron Boyce. A lot of people think they should have been included. Every year, there are some that don't make the list. They can't put everybody in there, I guess. But these omissions seemed especially perplexing to some people. Luke Perry's final on-screen appearance was one of the Best Picture nominees, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He died March 4th, shortly after last year's Academy Awards ceremony. Maybe that's why they omitted him. And then also somebody else, Boyce, was a younger star, one whose life was cut short due to complications from epilepsy before his final appearance in Disney Channel's Descendants 3 last summer. And then I saw Orson Bean's name in there and thought, what? When did that happen? And then it turns out that he was hit and killed by a car in Los Angeles on Friday night. Orson Bean was on the Johnny Carson and Jack Parr Tonight shows a couple of hundred times. And in the 90s, he played the shopkeeper, Lauren Bray, on Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. He remained active in recent years with guest shots on Desperate Housewives, How I Met Your Mother, and Modern Family. And then a lot of people remember him from To Tell the Truth, the most recent incarnation of that game show. He was on the panel for 6 years. So Orson Bean was in that list last night.
He was 91.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
Yes, he was.
And that's where I remember him from, Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, of all things.
Yeah, you don't remember him as a panelist on all the game shows, and you're too young to remember him on The Tonight Show, aren't you?
Yeah, I do remember the panel, though, the game show.
I thought they'd do more for Kobe Bryant and Kirk Douglas.
Yeah.
I mean, Kobe Bryant kind of led off the segment there, and then they ended with Kirk Douglas, but that was it. I thought they'd do more.
You know what else they didn't do a lot of this year was them speaking lines from the movies. I mean, they never went to clips or anything. They just went straight through.
Yeah, and it was quick, too, especially when you had, like, two names on the screen at once. Right. It was fast.
Yep.
Maybe they figure everybody can DVR it now, you know, freeze it, stop it, go back and look at it again. I don't know. It was a good show, though. I mean, you know, I enjoyed it. I was just looking at what the various critics are saying about it today, and everybody kind of agrees that it was a pretty well-paced show and entertaining show. And everybody, I mean, a lot of people are talking about so many, like, little moments, like Billie Eilish. The camera caught Billie Eilish looking very perplexed in the audience during the comedy music bit that Maya Rudolph Amy Poehler did.
She was making some wacko faces during that whole thing.
Oh, yeah. She was confused.
Yes.
Yeah, she didn't know
I loved those two. I thought they were hilarious.
Oh, they were great.
Except for their dresses were really bad.
That's why women...
Kristen Wiig's outfit.
Noticed that. Oh, those things.
Yeah,
guys don't care.
Fins sticking out of the side of her dress.
I mean, you know, all the ratings and all the research shows that more women are into the Academy Awards than men, and I think that's why. The fashions.
Yes. There was a lot of white and a lot of black last night.
Was that
dresses.
It?
Yeah. A lot of white. Notice that.
And then somebody, who was it? Somebody wore something with the names of the women who should have been nominated for director. Oh, Natalie Portman. She wore an outfit that had the names of, was it just female directors?
Yeah. Could have been. I don't know. Yeah. I missed that part.
Yeah.
But
I missed it, too. Somebody mentioned that to me last night.
Well, when she gave out the award, I don't think she had a really pretty dress on. So
I saw that a number of people changed during the night. Like, if you saw them on the red carpet, they're wearing one thing. And then later, if they're on the show, they're wearing another thing. That's kind of like me. You know, during each newscast, I change outfits here because we have the webcams now. So people actually can see us when they go to WGNradio.com. If you notice, I'm not here a lot. I take a lot of walks. So you can't exactly see if I have a bad hair day or...
Wardrobe changes. Do a lot of those.
Sleepy, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, I would like to have seen what would happen. Ray Romano was taking part in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am at Pebble Beach near Los Angeles, and he didn't make the cut the third day, which was Saturday, which was Sunday. They were cut on Saturday, so he said if he was going to make it to Sunday, he promised his wife that he would play the round in a tuxedo and get right into a car and get to the awards.
Is that right? I saw him last night.
But he didn't make it to Sunday, so that his team didn't qualify.
Yeah. He was a presenter last night, wasn't
he? Yes, he was. And he had a little F-bomb that he dropped there yesterday.
Yeah, there were a couple of times when all of a sudden there was no sound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pretty much during Eminem's entire song.
Yeah.
Yeah. People were confused during Eminem as well. I guess they were wondering why he was doing that song. Was that the confusion? I think so.
Well, it was so old because he didn't get to perform it years ago.
Yeah.
I guess.
Reading Richard Roper in the Sun-Times today, and he said Eminem appeared on stage delivering a rousing rendition of Lose Yourself as the live audience seemed equal parts thrilled and confused. Why exactly was Eminem here some 17 years after winning the Oscar for Lose Yourself? And then Roper writes, well, he's got a new album to promote. And back in 2003, he stayed home in Detroit with his young daughter because he thought he had no chance of winning. Okay, that explains that. Yeah, Natalie Portman's Oscar's cape honored the women directors that the Academy ignored. People are talking about that today, too. It's 5:54 almost. Coming up, let's see, what should we do after the 6 o'clock news? I'm trying to think if we should... I have something from my record collection and also a couple of clips from the Oscars last night. Everybody enjoyed the Steve Martin, Chris Rock opening comedy bit. We have that. And, of course, I think one of the reasons everybody was pulling for Joaquin Phoenix to win Best Actor for The Joker is because people wanted to see him on stage and hear him talk. And he did not disappoint, did he?
No, he did not.
It started out, I thought, okay, I get it. This is making sense. And then... was it just me because I was sleepy trying to stay up and watch that, or did he just veer off?
Yeah, it was like he was coming in on the Edens. There was traffic in front of him. He decided to get off at Dempster and then decided to go east and then west, and he had no idea where he was going.
Okay, well, we'll have to... Maybe we'll figure it out this morning when we replay the part of it that really got crazy when he started dealing with cows and calves and things. Maybe Orion Samuelson understood that part. Well, I can find that out. I don't know. All right, let's see. What else do we have to take care of this morning? I think that brings us up to date, and we will check on a few things for you right now, like the market outlook. Don Kleppen is here this morning. Steve Grzanich is off for a couple of days. And how are we looking? Is it going to be a green day or a red day on the boards? Do we know yet, Don?
It's looking more like a red day, unfortunately, Bob. The WGN Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for Monday, February 10th. Global shares mostly weighed down so far by fears over the coronavirus and news of higher than reported infection numbers coming out of China this weekend. People across that country trickling back into work this morning after an extended Lunar New Year holiday over the weekend. The World Health Organization said the number of cases outside China could just be the tip of the iceberg as well. Alibaba Group Holdings saying that this morning its affiliate Ant Financial's WeBank unit would offer 20 billion yuan, also almost 3 billion U.S. dollars in loans to companies in China in light of the coronavirus outbreak with preferential terms, also low interest rates, it added. And then what also could move the market, U.S. President Donald Trump will propose today a 21% cut in foreign aid and slashes to social safety net programs in his $4.8 trillion budget proposal for the fiscal year of 2021. That is coming from senior administration officials today. Those are just some things that could move the markets on this Monday, February 10th.
Are you late yet? It's 6:08 WGN in the morning with Bob Surratt. Okay, let's see if we can figure out what Joaquin Phoenix was trying to say last night. He won the Best Actor Oscar for his unbelievable, intense, weird depressing, troubling performance in The Joker. And then, as expected, he gave a speech that was interesting, to say the least. Now, let's see if we can figure out. We've got like a portion of it here, and this is the portion where it kind of went off the rails for a lot of people. We've got a panel here of experts trying to decode this now. We've got Don Kleppen in the newsroom. Steve Grzanich is off this morning. Mary Van De Velde in the traffic center. And Andy Mazur here for Dave Bennett this morning on the sports desk. Let's all see if we can make sense of this. Okay, are we ready here? You have some paper and a pen so you can take notes, everybody?
I got my notepad.
Okay, this is the part that's kind of hard to follow. Last night, the Academy Awards on ABC, and here's Joaquin Phoenix.
I think that we've become very disconnected from the natural world, and many of us, what we're guilty of is an egocentric worldview, the belief that we're the center of the universe. We go into the natural world, and we plunder it for its resources. We feel entitled to artificially inseminate a cow, and when she gives birth, we steal her baby. Even though her cries of anguish are unmistakable. And then we take her milk that's intended for her calf, and we put it in our coffee and our cereal. And I think we fear the idea of personal change, because we think that we have to sacrifice something to give something up. But human beings at our best are so inventive and creative and ingenious. And I think that when we use love and compassion as our guiding principles, we can create, develop, and implement systems of change that are beneficial to all sentient beings and to the environment.
Okay, now, I'm with you on the love and compassion. We need more of that. Anybody else get anything there?
Yeah. I was hoping for a laugh track, actually. I really.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It reminded me of like when he's doing a stand up routine in the Joker movie and he's just kind of like laughing at his own joke stuff. I think this is a glimpse into Joker, too.
That would have been a while if you would have burst out into one of those laughs from the Joker.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
Stream of consciousness, and it just kept on going. I mean, he was twisting and turning through things. And yeah, I mean, the love and compassion, yeah, I get that. That's great.
But how am I going to get my milk for my coffee, not from love and compassion?
Yeah, think about that.
I'm trying to figure out how that has to do with the cow and the whole thing.
Yeah, that's
the
where I got lost.
The insemination.
It's really, come on, Joaquin, I'm just trying to enjoy coffee.
What was his face doing when he said this?
He looked very serious.
Yeah, he did.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, well, you know what? It was strange. He didn't disappoint last night.
What was Billie Eilish doing during this?
Well, we didn't get the reaction shot. Oh, we should have gotten reaction shots of Billie Eilish all night.
That would have explained everything.
After the quizzical shot with Kristen Wiig and Amy Rudolph. Yeah, that was another good moment. Okay, well, I guess I'm not alone then in being a little mystified by him. You know, they didn't dare play him off. Did you notice that?
No. No.
I'm thinking if the orchestra starts up, he's going to get mad. I think they were afraid to do that.
Yeah, if that's a C-lister up there, they're getting played off real quick. Yeah.
Well, didn't they stop the playoff with when Parasite won one of the awards? I mean, because they were having to speak through a translator, so it was taking extra time, and then the crowd started chanting, keep him on, or pull it up, put up the curtain
again.
Oh,
yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because I was kind of half asleep at that point, and I noticed that everybody in the crowd was yelling. What were they? What were
they?
They
were yelling like to pull the curtain back up or to turn the lights back on.
Back up. Yeah, right.
Because they wanted to hear what the rest of them had to say, because only one person got to speak because it took a long time with the translator.
Right. Exactly.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Now the top six at six with Bob Sarras on WGN Radio.
Well, you do this usually right around this time, 6:17, so let's get to it. First, the New Hampshire primaries. They're just a day away. Democratic candidates still trying to sort through the remainder of last week's Iowa caucus mess. Nearly a week after the caucuses, the Iowa Democratic Party released results yesterday indicating that Pete Buttigieg was the winner, but errors have led several news organizations to refrain from calling the race. Bernie Sanders' campaign says they'll call for a partial recanvass of the results.
Now, page two.
More than 60 new cases of the coronavirus have been confirmed on a ship quarantined in Japan, bringing the total to 136. China's death toll of 908 now exceeds that of the SARS epidemic 17 years ago. China said yesterday they would allow in a team from the World Health Organization, which first offered help weeks ago. Health experts say that deaths and infections are probably being undercounted because testing facilities are under severe strain.
Page 3.
Tomorrow, Mayor Lightfoot, the CTA, and Chicago Public Schools announce the new CTA Elevating Futures Scholarship Fund, an innovative program that will provide a new path for economically disadvantaged youth who want to go to college and pursue construction and engineering-related careers. The new scholarship program will provide $250,000 to aid CPS students who plan to pursue science, technology, engineering, and math four-year degrees at a university or college.
Page 4.
A British Airways flight has broken the record for the fastest ever subsonic flight between New York and London, reaching a top speed of more than 800 miles an hour. The Boeing 747 flew overnight from Saturday to Sunday and reached its destination in just 4 hours and 56 minutes. The average time it takes a plane to fly between London and New York is usually 6 hours and 13 minutes, and they did it in under 5 hours. The record-breaking flight was called by Flight Radar 24 the fastest subsonic New York to London crossing. And I guess what happened was there was this big storm in the UK and Northern Europe, hurricane force winds. They had heavy rains. Some flights were canceled or delayed. Same with trains. Heavy seas closed down ports. But the storm's massive wind gusts that were like 90 miles an hour and more created this tailwind, and that British Airways plane made the fastest ever flight by a conventional airliner from New York to London, 3,500 miles, 4 hours and 56 minutes. So they were like 102 minutes early. I wonder if they got a gate. They're probably sitting there for about an hour and a half waiting for the gate, right? That's what usually happens. Two Virgin Airlines flights also roared across the Atlantic, with all three smashing the previous subsonic New York to London record of 5 hours and 13 minutes. And then, of course, by the time they did get to the gate and they got off, then they had to wait another 2 hours for their bags. So, but they made the crossing quick, didn't they?
To whom it may concern.
Starting next week, cherry vanilla Coca-Cola and a zero-sugar version will be available for purchase in cans and bottles. The flavor was inspired by the many customers who mix cherry and vanilla Coke at Coca-Cola's soda fountains. You know those kind of self-serve machines they have in a lot of movie theaters now where they give you the cup and then you can just go to the machine?
Love that.
And get what you want. Do you love that because you ask for an empty cup for water, you say, and then you use the cup to get a free drink?
No, I'm very honest.
Okay.
But I just like the mixing of the products together. Come up with something new and ingenious.
That's right. You create your own. The latest flavor is another in a string of innovations within the classic Coca-Cola brand. Recently, they launched Coke Energy here in the U.S. Internationally, they've rolled out a Coke with coffee line, which could one day make its way to American customers. Do we want Coke with coffee? It would sweeten it up, yeah. Right? Last year, they launched a new orange vanilla variety. I see. Everybody loves creamsicles, right? People are increasingly reaching for drinks that serve a functional purpose, such as offering a nutritional benefit or a boost of energy. Regular sodas are starting to be a trend.
Stand by for news.
And our sixth item, the 92nd Academy Awards marked a historic night for international cinema. The South Korean film Parasite dominated the night and became the first non-English film to win the coveted Best Picture Award. The movie also won Oscars for Best Director, Best Screenplay, and Best International Feature. And in the acting categories, no surprises. Joaquin Phoenix won Best Actor for Joker, Renee Zellweger Best Actress for Judy, Brad Pitt for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He got the Best Supporting Actor nod, and the Best Supporting Actress in Marriage Story, Laura Dern. Best commercial during the Oscars, even though I don't watch it, I was amused by the promo for The Bachelor. Did you see that?
Did not see that.
No, it was pretty good.
Well, no, what happened?
Well, what they did was they sort of did a takeoff on the famous scene in Ghost. Do you remember
the pottery scene?
The pottery scene?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. Peter Weber paid homage to Ghost, and it featured a special appearance by the star who won Best Actress in a Supporting Role for that 1991 movie. And
also Peter the pilot, The Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then at the end of the little promo, Whoopi Goldberg comes on.
Oh.
She says, "Peter, you in danger, boy." So that was pretty good.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. That ran a couple of times last night.
Oh, yeah. They got to promote The Bachelor because it's on Channel 7.
Mm-hmm.
On ABC.
Mm-hmm. So and that was the new promo for The Bachelor. Now, in its 24th season, what? Oh, is that because they count
yes.
the seasons like there's a few
both
a few
them.
In 1 year, yeah. a couple in a year? Is that it?
Yeah, but it hasn't been on 12 years.
It says only here, seems like it.
Says here, 24th season.
Well, are there two a season or more? I can't remember.
There must be more.
Well, if you
right?
count The Bachelor in Paradise and all that. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Okay. So, there you go. And then we will replay the comedy monologue. Well, it's not a monologue since there were two of them, but Steve Martin and Chris Rock came out after the opening musical number, which was pretty cool, and did something that was hilarious. And we'll replay it for you here. I think we'll do that in a little while. And it made everybody think, well, wait a minute, why aren't these two hosting? Or, well, they've both hosted before, but I don't like this no host thing. Do you?
No.
It's missing something, isn't
it? It's missing Billy Crystal.
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking about those openings he used to do where he'd insert himself in all those movies.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. We have somebody on the line here holding. Really? John, you're really going to explain Joaquin Phoenix's speech?
Oh, definitely.
All right. Good morning. What's happening in Mount Prospect today, anyway?
Cold, snowy, and dark so far, but we'll get over that.
Okay, so help me when you got to the cow and the calf, I got lost. Explain that.
Well, first you got to remember that Joaquin is not really a member of British royalty as far as being eloquent in his speech. and he's an actor,
yeah.
and he plays on the screen beautifully because he's giving lines. But I think in real life. He has difficulty in saying what he thinks. But I think what he was trying to say is, first, we as human beings are not here to use the environment around us, the cows, the trees, just for our own being. He said we're very selfish in what we do. But in the next breath, I think he was trying to say, well, look, folks, we're better than that. We love, we have the ability to improve, and let's see what we can do to avoid harming the environment for our own personal needs. That was my take on it.
Okay, now we need somebody to call in and explain what John from Mount Prospect just said. I appreciate the call there, John.
All right, thank you, Bob.
Did you have something else there to clear it up?
Well, no, I really
done.
Just to say that, you know, I think, you know, he was like, wanted to make a political statement, say what was on his mind, be, you know, concerned about the ecology and all, but we can do better than what we've done in the past by being... Yeah. You know, I think that's what he was trying to say.
His heart was in the right place, and you know, I like the more love and compassion. You know, I'm down with that.
Right. Me too.
I appreciate the call, and thanks for listening, John. You have a good day.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
And
we take her milk that's intended for our calf, and we put it in our coffee and our cereal.
Uh huh. Okay. I'm thinking it's almost 6:27.
And that's the way it is.
This has been the Top 6 at 6 with Bob Sirach on WGN Radio.
Good day.
Time for our weekly house call and visit with Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Hey, Doc, good morning. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Bob. I'm doing great for a Monday morning.
Yeah, you sound like it. We like to hear that. We're going to talk about heart health in just a second, but I want to get to something first that I saw last week about saffron, and apparently there's been a lot of research. Scientists have been looking into saffron as a protection, protecting the retina and helping macular degeneration. Is there anything to this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, you know, people say, well, what's macular degeneration? But people need to understand that's the most common cause of blindness for people as we age. So you might see the acronym AMD, age-related macular degeneration, and it's where individuals who have been out in the sun for a lot of times in a long period over years and years and years damage the macula, which is a portion of the retina. And it appears that saffron actually, you know, has a great benefit to not only slow that, but in some cases actually even reverse some of the changes that we see with AMD.
And there's a supplement, I guess, that a lot of people are wondering about. Is it safe? Does it really do anything? And obviously, you need to check anything with your doctor. But what's your view on this?
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing about all supplements is that the FDA doesn't regulate them. So they can make pretty much any claim they want to make. And if you look at saffron, boy, a lot of claims have been made. You know, they talk about it being great for your eye health for sure, but even there's some studies that show that it works with some depression in people, Alzheimer's, heart disease, diabetes. So we know that it's loaded with antioxidants. We just don't know exactly what all the studies would show is if we put them up against other alternatives. So as a supplement, not a bad idea. I mean, make sure you get a reputable one. Make sure you talk to your doctor about it. And understand that saffron is the most expensive spice known to man, so you're going to be paying a little bit for this as well.
Yeah, I was curious about how you can get saffron other than in the supplement, but it's a spice that you can add to almost anything, right?
Correct. Yeah, you can go to the grocery store and get it. Often it's going to be behind the counter because it is so expensive. You might have to ask the manager for it. But yeah, it's a spice that can be added to food. We've known about it for thousands of years. And right now you're going to start to see more and more as we start to try to get into more natural healing and more natural-based foods to show their powerful benefits. We know it's loaded with antioxidants, so there may even be a strong play for cancer fighting with saffron. The goal will be how can we manufacture it a little bit better? How can we produce it more efficiently just because of the cost?
You know, one of the reasons I enjoy our visits, Doc, is because you do have an open mind about Eastern medicine, and you kind of combine the best of Western medicine with a holistic approach. Is that how you think most of the time?
I try to, Bob. You know, I'm not a person that says, you know what, we are at an age right now where you tell me the ailment you have, I'm going to give you a drug. You know, that's just not where we should be right now. We should really be looking at what can we do to prevent. What can we do to live more healthy? What can we do for our diet? What can we do for as far as our exercise? And actually even, you know, what can we do for increasing the activity in our mind? We're sitting here looking at baby boomers really going into this aging process right now. And we have to have a very open mind on what can be the best. And it shouldn't be as simple as you have this, let me give you this drug. We should be looking at other opportunities. And you look at even some of the pain-related stuff we're talking about with opioids right now. Look at what the Eastern, you know, medicine has done here with acupuncture, acupressure, relaxation techniques, things that we can really use instead of just always going to a medication.
Continuing with Dr. Kevin Most, and Friday's Valentine's Day, so this is Heart Health Month. Let's talk a little bit about heart disease, and especially women whose symptoms are different than men's as far as heart attack, correct, Doc? Oh, let's press his button here so he can tell us about that. Go ahead, Dr. Most.
Hello there. I lost you there for a couple of minutes.
Let's talk about what the symptoms are in females for heart problems.
Yeah, so, you know, heart disease is very, very common, and people don't really think about it, but they think, wow, do we realize that women have heart disease as much as men have heart disease, and we don't notice that. However, the symptoms are different. In women, they'll often come in saying, you know, I feel a little bit of short of breath. They might have pain in either arm, where men classically will have it in their left arm. They have back pain, which is very unusual for men to have back pain with heart disease. Usually it's the anterior chest or the front of the chest. And then they also can come in with just nausea. So they come in feeling, you know what, I think I have a touch of the flu. You know, I'm a little dehydrated. My back hurts a little bit. I'm a little nauseated. And, you know, we as physicians have to always keep that in the back of our mind of what should we look for in heart disease in women versus what do we look for heart disease in men.
And as far as men go, you always hear about chest pain and or pressure in the chest. Wouldn't that be something that both men and women would feel if they're having a heart attack?
Yeah, sometimes they can. Sometimes women will talk about chest pain or chest pressure. You know, you often will hear from the man saying, oh my gosh, it feels like someone's sitting on top of my chest. You know, they'll make a fist and they'll put their fist right on top of their chest. And that's kind of almost an international sign for us to say, wow, we're concerned here. So men and women can both have that. Women just often have these other subtle things. And when we think about the general population, we think about women's health, we think about, oh, we talk about breast cancer, we talk about ovarian cancer. We have to realize that heart disease is much more common than those.
And I'm looking at the list you sent over, some statistics about heart disease, and some of them are quite striking. Are we doing better here? Are things getting worse?
Yeah, we really aren't doing too much better. We expect here over the next decade or so to start doing better. From a treatment point of view, we are. If you think about now, you probably know more people who are on statin drugs, in other words, cholesterol-lowering drugs, than you do people who smoke. In other words, we have more people lowering their cholesterol than we have smoking, which is good. And it's great that we have these medications that we didn't have 20, 30 years ago. So at least we're starting to do some of that prevention side of it. But it still is the number one cause of death, and we really don't see anything changing here. And there are, if you look at some of these stats, they are very staggering. And you pick out a couple that, and we'll talk about them because they're very interesting.
Yeah, one that caught my eye really involves high school students. Where is it here? That 73% of them do not get the Heart Association recommended 60 minutes of exercise daily.
Yep.
And that's so important to get those good habits started early. And actually, and from what we're hearing, what you eat and your exercise habits in your younger years can come back to haunt you later, can't they?
Absolutely. You're spot on right there. You know, when we look at the youths of what's going on right now in the youth as far as exercise, there's a couple things that happen there. One, even look at the schools right now where some schools have pretty much eliminated gym class almost. And even if they do, they have a very short period of time. And when they're doing that, those individuals aren't really getting what we would call quote-unquote exercise, where you're getting your heart rate up. So that, and now we're taking a group of people right now that have a much more sedentary lifestyle. They're much more playing video games and doing social media than they are going outside. You know, when's the last time you drove down the street and saw kids outside playing a baseball game or doing things? So that is a really big concern. And like you said, that sets the foundation of what you're going to do as you age. Look at the obesity problem we have in this country right now. If we don't teach these kids to eat right and exercise at this age, it's only going to get worse as they age.
What are the numbers now for blood pressure? Haven't they recently changed?
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. You know, we used to say, well, what's a good blood pressure? Well, you know, if you keep it over 140, over 90, that's fine. And, you know, a couple years ago, we said, a big study came out and said, no, we need to lower this. You have to remember the heart is just a pump, and if you can make it work as efficiently as possible and still get all the benefits of it, that's exactly what you want to do. So now we look at 130 over 80 is the norm, what we want to be at. We would love to see that high number, the called the systolic number of 130, when your heart is working the hardest. We want to see that at 130 or below. The 80 is called the diastolic number, and that's when the heart is at rest. How much pressure is it still generating while it's at rest? So we really want to see those as low as possible without you getting dizzy, without you having problems standing up and walking and running and keeping your heart rate up. So we really have found that the lower we can keep our blood pressure, the less damage it's going to do to our kidneys, to our heart, to our eyes. So very important that you know what your blood pressure is and that you're much more aggressive in keeping it down.
And is it diet and exercise that will affect blood pressure more than anything else?
Yeah, absolutely. Diet, exercise. And to be honest with you, fortunately now we've seen a decrease, at least somewhat of a decrease in tobacco use, because we know that that will impact your blood pressure. The other big thing, Bob, is that get rid of the salt shaker at your table. Don't put that out there, especially if you're eating any prepared foods. There is plenty of sodium in prepared foods. If you go to a restaurant, there's plenty of sodium in that food. You do not need additional salt. The salt portion, the sodium portion of that will raise our blood pressure as well. So lay off the cigarettes, lay off the salt, get some exercise, and those would definitely be good things for your heart.
6:54, we're talking with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer for Northwestern Medicine. How about screening for heart disease? Are we doing a better job now? And what are the tests that everybody should have?
Yeah, the screening for heart disease, you know, one obviously is know what your cholesterol level is. You know, we want to make sure that you keep that total cholesterol level below 200, and we want that HDL, the high density cholesterol, we want that over 50. We'd love to see it close to 70. That's the good cholesterol. So that's one screening number you should know. The other screening number you certainly should know is your blood pressure. If you know those two numbers and you know your family history and you know your lifestyle, that's going to tell you where you are as far as the risk factor. If you have somebody who's died of heart disease in the past, your physician might say, you know what, I want to do a stress test on you every 2-3 years. And then we also have a lot of new technology. CT scans now can show how much calcium you have in your arteries, and does it show that you're at a higher risk for future heart disease.
And do the latest studies still say good things about dark chocolate and red wine as far as heart health is concerned?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we tell everybody, okay, stop smoking, no more salt. But at least we can say, hey, have some dark chocolate and have some red wine. So absolutely, we know that those two are going to be protective of your heart, and as well as they have a very high in antioxidants, so it's going to give you some heart benefits as well as some other benefits. So I'm not saying go out and drink a bottle of wine every day, but, you know, a glass or two of red wine, especially in women, has been shown to really be helpful towards their heart health.
And how much dark chocolate can we eat before the fat content gets to us?
Yeah, actually, you know, if you look at dark chocolate, and good dark chocolate has very low fat content in it. So it's actually, you know, you can eat a small bar of that and still get the benefit there. And, you know, people use it to cook as well now. People put dark chocolate in chili. They put dark chocolate in cookies. They put dark chocolate in a lot of sauces. So they're going to get that heart benefit because it's not so sweet. It's more of a acquired taste, I'll say, for the dark chocolate lovers.
70% is the magic number, isn't it?
Yep, it is. You're exactly right. 70% of the cocoa. Yep.
Well, I'm going to put saffron in my salt shaker. That's what I'm going to do. And it's Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer for Northwestern Medicine. Thanks, as always, Doc. We look forward to chatting with you next week.
You got it, Bob. Take care.
All right, sir. Have a good day. The hilarious Steve Martin and Chris Rock segment from last night's Oscars one more time. We'll do that after the 7 o'clock news, which is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Good morning on Monday, the 10th of February. It's 7:09. I thought of doing the entire show in Korean today as my tribute to Parasite, but even though the Oscars didn't go as late as usual, I didn't have time to study enough to do that. Reading Richard Roper in the Sun-Times today, He made a couple of interesting points. We'll hear what Dean Richards has to say about last night's Oscars coming up in about an hour. Roper wrote that Brad Pitt and Laura Dern had their expected crowning moment Sunday night. Non-hosts Chris Rock and Steve Martin delivered a killer comedic monologue. Janelle Monáe performed an opening number with dancing jokers in the background, and Eminem finally performed Lose Yourself some 17 years after it won an Oscar for original song. And also there's an interesting note here about Matthew Cherry. He's a Chicago filmmaker, and last night he took home the Oscar for Best Animated Short Film for Hair Love, a six-minute tearjerker about an African-American father attempting to do his daughter's hair for the first time. You see these shorts and documentaries, and you want to see all of them, right? But most people have not seen many, if any, of these. Did you see this one about the hair love? CBS Sunday Morning showed it yesterday. Very, very cool piece of work. And apparently, let's see, he's a former NFL player, graduate of Loyola Academy in Wilmette and the University of Akron, Matthew Cherry. So a big night for him. Reading Roper's review also, he mentioned that people were a little perplexed at Eminem, wondering why exactly he was doing that. And apparently he's got a new album to promote. Back in 2003, he stayed home in Detroit with his young daughter because he thought he had no chance of winning the Oscar, which he did back then. And everybody's talking about Steve Martin and Chris Rock, and we are going to play that. If you saw it, I'm sure you'd like to hear it again because it was pretty funny. And if you missed it, it may have been the highlight of the entire evening. So we'll do that here in just a couple of minutes. And then coming up a little later, we'll again try to deconstruct Joaquin Phoenix and what he said after he won the Oscar, as expected, for Best Actor in Joker. We think we understand a little bit of it, but the beginning of it anyway. And then when he got into the cow, and I'm not so sure. There was a little harder to follow, wasn't it?
Yeah, kind of, as you pointed out, I think it was well put. It went off the rails a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, the guy was perfect in the Joker because you need that unhinged quality, which apparently he has in real life, doesn't he? So when you were listening to Steve Martin and Chris Rock and you saw that hilarious bit they did near the beginning of the Academy Awards, weren't you thinking these two should host the entire show? Yeah. You want to hear it again from last night on ABC? Steve Martin and Chris Rock.
Please welcome Steve Martin and Chris Rock.
Watching it, Steve says to me, J-Lo's killing it 2 weeks in a row.
You know, I was thinking today, Chris, that we both have hosted the Oscars before, and this is such an incredible demotion. They don't really have hosts anymore. Why is that?
Twitter! Everybody's got an embarrassing tweet somewhere. I know I do.
Now, a couple of years ago, there was a big disaster here at the Oscars where they accidentally read out the wrong name, and it was nobody's fault, but they have guaranteed that this will not happen this year because the Academy has switched to the new Iowa Caucus app. But what a night!
Yeah, I don't know, Steve. I'm a little conflicted. You know, I was driving here tonight and seeing the terrible homeless problem in L.A.
Thank you, Chris! So many stars! Oh, my God, there's Brad Pitt. It's like looking in a mirror.
Mahershala Ali's here tonight. Mahershala has two Oscars. You know what that means when the cops pull him over? Nothing. Jeff Bezos is here.
Oh!
Jeff Bezos.
Wow, great actor.
He's got cash. When he writes a check, the bank bounces. Jeff Bezos is so rich, he got divorced, and he's still the richest man in the world. He saw Marriage Story and thought it was a comedy. Steve, do you have anything you want to add about Mr. Bezos?
No, I like getting my packages on time. And Marty Scorsese is here somewhere. Where is he? Genius. Wow.
Yes. Marty Scorsese. Marty, I got to tell you, I love the first season of The Irishman.
Oh, The Irishman. That's that new Ray Romano movie. Yeah. Such a great supporting cast.
Steve, did you see The Joker?
I can't wait to see it. It sounds so funny. I'm laughing already. Joker.
Oh, man, there's so many great directors nominated this year.
I don't know, Chris. I thought there was something missing from the list this year.
Vaginas?
Yeah.
Ford versus Ferrari is nominated. I gotta tell you, I got a Ford, I got a Ferrari, it ain't even close. That's like Halle Berry versus gum disease.
Cynthia Erivo is here tonight.
Yes! Cynthia Erivo is here tonight. Cynthia did such a great job in Harriet hiding black people that the Academy got her to hide all the black nominees.
Eddie, I loved you in Dolomite. Well, you know, think how much the Oscars have changed in the past 92 years.
Yeah, they changed a lot, Steve.
Yeah, they have. Back in 1929, there were no black acting nominees.
No. And now in 2020, we got one.
Yeah. Amazing growth. Well, we've had a great time not hosting tonight.
7:22 right now. Funny stuff. What smart material, Steve Martin and Chris Rock. Very strong. As Roper wrote in the Sun-Times today, Martin and Rock would be perfect as co-hosts for next year's Oscars, as would Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, as would about a dozen other duos, all of whom are probably too smart to take on the job, knowing every tweet they've ever tweeted will be unearthed, and every joke they've ever joked will be dissected and analyzed to death. We'll get Dean Richards' take on the Academy Awards when we talk to him a little after 8 o'clock. This morning. It's coming up on 7:23 right now. Coming up here in a few minutes, we'll give away some Blackhawks tickets. And also from the Bob Surratt Record Collection, a performance 73 million people watched. We'll get to that in just a little bit. And a lot of folks are also talking about the In Memoriam section of the Academy Awards last night. Robert Conrad, not mentioned. Of course, he just died a couple of days ago. A bigger omission seemed to be Luke Perry, right?
Yeah.
And of course, he was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And then a name I saw and thought, wait a minute, how did I miss this? A guy who is a frequent guest hundreds of times on The Tonight Show, going back to Steve Allen and Jack Parr and Johnny Carson. And then he also was a panelist for many years when they brought back To Tell the Truth. And then in the 90s, he was on Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. He played the shopkeeper, Lauren Bray. He did guest shots on Desperate Housewives, How I Met Your Mother, and Modern Family, talking about Orson Bean, who was mentioned in that In Memoriam tribute. He died suddenly in an automobile accident in Los Angeles on Friday night. He was 91 years old. What a way to go. You make it to 91, and then you're killed in a L.A. traffic accident. Terrible. So Orson Bean was on that list last night in memoriam. I thought they would do more on Kobe Bryant. They mentioned him first at the beginning of that segment, and then they mentioned Kirk Douglas at the end, but I thought they'd do more on that, too, didn't you?
Yeah, it seemed like it was weirdly placed this year. It was later in the show than I think I ever remember it.
Yeah, and it was nice, Billie Eilish singing yesterday.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good performance.
But if you happen to pass away and share the screen with somebody else, people barely saw you because it did go by. it did go by quick, didn't it? Yeah. Well, the whole Academy Awards seemed to go by quickly. It seemed to be faster paced. And did it start later, or was it just that fast? Because usually it goes like past 11.
No, it started at 7. Well, the red carpet started at like 4 or whatever.
But yeah,
yeah. The real show started at 7.
And that's the normal start time? Or is the start time usually 7:30 Central
no,
Time?
No, it's usually 7, yeah.
Because I was all set to just turn it off and miss the last few, and then I stayed awake, which was a mistake if you work these hours. But still, it wasn't too bad. Before 10:30, they were done. And Jane Fonda kind of wrapped things up. And how about Jane Fonda? How about Jane Fonda? You know, she's been sort of public about having some work done, but some people have work done and they don't look too good. She looks good, work or no work, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, she looks great. Diane Keaton looks great, too, except for that crazy outfit she had on. But
well, she always has.
She had on like 3 wool coats. I said, is she cold or what?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know how old Jane Fonda is? 82.
No, I thought she was 80. Okay, yeah.
How about that? And I guess we should now do people look up the ages of guys? They really don't. Diane Keaton, 74. Yeah, she's still Annie Hall.
She still wears the same stuff with the high belt. You know, always has that belt on with like a jacket and a wool coat.
I watched Annie Hall again not too long ago. Still funny. Still funny. I mean, you know, the pacing is a little slow, but still good.
Yeah, she's great.
It is almost 7:27. All right, we'll get to our Blackhawks ticket giveaway and the record collection that's coming up. That'll be after our 7:30 report. We have a pair of Blackhawks tickets to give away. Let's do it this way. First caller to tell us, and we just talked about this, biggest omission in the In Memoriam segment of the Academy Awards last night. The most glaring missing star from that list in memoriam. They left this person out. 312-981-7200. First caller with the right answer gets the tickets. 312-981-7200. Blackhawks and the Nashville Predators Friday night, February 21st, those tickets will be courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons, find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. Andy Mazur is here for Dave Ennett today. Dave worked the basketball game last night. Not a good one. And the Blackhawks did not have a good night, although they started strong, didn't they?
Yeah, 15 seconds in, you get Dominique Kubalik lighting the lamp as 22nd, and it was a big assist. The secondary assist went to Jonathan Toews. That was his 800th career point. They took a 2-0 lead after one period, but then a shorthanded goal kind of stemmed the tide, I would say, because it really seemed like it changed the momentum of the game. And Winnipeg went on to score 5 unanswered goals, a couple of empty netters at the end, and win 5-2 over the Blackhawks.
Not a good way to start the road trip.
No, sir.
Here's a good way to start the day. Marie in Downers Grove. Good morning, Marie. How you doing? You are our winner.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Give us the answer that you gave our control room, the In Memoriam segment. Who'd they leave out? Big omission?
Luke Perry.
Ding, ding, ding.
That's right. He died on March 4th. That was not too long after last year's Academy Awards. And, I mean, everybody thought he'd be in that list because he was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That was his final on-screen appearance, as it turned out. Did you watch last night?
Yes, I did. I thought it was fairly entertaining, given that I usually fall asleep before the big ones come on, but
yeah,
it didn't go on forever and ever.
It ended earlier, too. That helped. Steve Martin and Chris Rock should host next year, don't you think?
Yeah, I thought they were good. I also thought, and I'm not sure who the young man's name was, but the guy that came out and kind of wrapped the what happened so far during the show.
Yeah, that was very clever.
Was really good.
Yeah, that was clever, and obviously they had to come up with that during the ceremony. And,
right.
And you expected more political speeches, but actually only Brad Pitt did that. He got up there when he got the award and said, they told me I have 45 seconds to speak, which is 45 seconds more than the Senate gave John Bolton this week. And,
right.
And he said, I'm thinking maybe Quentin does a movie about it. But other than that, weren't too many political references last night. All right, we're going to get you some Blackhawks tickets. And you'll
Thank
be
you.
There, Blackhawks and the Predators, Friday night, February 21st. Marie, way to go.
Thank you so much.
What do you do out there in Downers Grove?
I work out by Midway, actually, but in the corrugated industry.
What does that mean exactly? You put together boxes?
We put together giant rolls of paper that turns into corrugated sheets that we sell to box companies.
Well, somebody's got to do it.
That's right.
Marie, thanks for listening. And
Alrighty.
Congratulations. Hold on, okay?
All right, thank you.
And by the way, you get another chance to win Blackhawks tickets with Rokan on the way home. Listen every Monday for more chances to win tickets to Blackhawks games from Four Seasons. Coming up on 7:43, we'll get to the Bob Surratt record collection next. Yesterday was a memorable date in music history. On Sunday night, February 9th of 1964, everyone was watching the same thing on TV, and it wasn't the Academy Awards. Were you old enough to be one of the 73 million people in 23 million households watching the Ed Sullivan Show 56 years ago yesterday?
And now, here he is, Ed Sullivan!
Something very nice happened, and the Beatles got a great kick out of it. Just received a wire, they did, from Elvis Presley and Colonel Tom Parker, wishing them a tremendous success in our country. I think that was very, very nice. This particular season, we've had many exciting nights on the stage, thanks to our little Italian mouse, Topo Gigio, thanks to Belgium singing nun, Sister Sarir, to Milton Berle, the Obratsov puppets, Van Heflin, the stars of Case of Libel. And last Sunday, of course, the never-to-be-forgotten teaming on our stage of Sammy Davis Jr. and Ella Fitzgerald. Now, tonight, the whole country is waiting to hear England's Beatles, and you're going to hear them. And they're tremendous ambassadors of goodwill after this commercial. Now, if you're a person that has to be shown, here's a really big proof from all new Aeroshave. Now, yesterday and today, our theater's been jammed with newspapermen and hundreds of photographers from all over the nation, and these veterans agree with me that the city never has witnessed the excitement stirred by these youngsters from Liverpool who call themselves the Beatles. Now, tonight, you're going to twice be entertained by them. Right now and again in the second half of our show, ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles! Let's...
Close your eyes and I'll kiss you tomorrow. That I'm kissing the lips I am missing, and hope that my dreams will come true. And then while I'm away, I'll ride home every day, and I'll send all my loving to you. All my loving I'll return. Hey, hey.
Sullivan paid $10,000 for the Beatles to do three consecutive Sunday night shows that February in 1964. The British invasion was on, and rock music changed forever. How about that? That was even more exciting than Topo Gigio, Milton Berle, and the Singing Nun, wasn't it?
February, I love Topo Gigio.
February 9th, 1964, the date of that Ed Sullivan show and the first appearance by the Beatles. How about that? It's coming up on 10 before 8. Dean Richards reviews last night's Oscars. We'll get his take on the Academy Awards. I want to ask him what he thought of Joaquin Phoenix's speech last night and a few other moments that people are talking about this morning. And we'll get to that. And also coming up later this morning, before we check out at 9 o'clock, the executive director of the Chicago Sports Commission will be with us. And we'll talk a little bit about the NBA All-Star game. It's an All-Star weekend, isn't it, Andy?
Starts on Friday.
A lot of events. I don't know whether people can still get a ticket to anything. I know for the game itself, you can forget it unless you've got more than $1,000 and can go to the secondary market. But they've got events Friday, Saturday, and Sunday all around town, don't they?
Yeah, some stuff at Navy Pier. And then, you know, back at the United Center, they've got the Rising Stars game. That will be coming up on Friday. Also, the Celebrity Game. Then they have the skills competitions with the three-point shootout, and also the dunk contest comes up Saturday. And then, of course, on Sunday, the big game at the United Center.
And do we know exactly what they're going to do in the way of a Kobe Bryant tribute?
Have not heard anything yet, but you would expect that there's going to be something grandiose on that stage, especially with the fact that Kobe was a perennial all-star. And it's interesting, too. I think it was 19 years ago this year that it was kind of a passing of the torch of sorts with Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant in an all-star game, and it kind of signaled the end of the Jordan era and the beginning of the Bryant era. So I'm sure they'll do something pretty special.
First time Chicago has hosted the game since 1988, when it was at the old Chicago Stadium.
Yeah, Dominique Wilkins still talking about that. He thinks he got jobbed on the dunk contest because it was at home, but come on, MJ was the guy that he got it done.
It kicks off actually on Friday at Wintrust Arena with the Celebrity Match. And then, as Andy was saying, there are all sorts of activities around town. And I'm looking at, Navy Pier will be the scene of something. Actually, you can get into this all-day admission for $20. That's the, what is that one? That's the Celebrity deal, I think. Let me see here. NBA crossover will be happening the whole weekend. Think NBA meets Entertainment Expo. Mingle with players past and present. Catch new product unveilings. Listen to live music. And that's the $20 all-day admission. And usually you can get tickets for that one fairly easily. So we'll get into details on that and find out just how you can get tickets and where and how much and some of the activities that are planned for this weekend. That'll be coming up here momentarily. Checking our emails and texts. By the way, the email, it's the same as the phone number, 312-981-7200, and you can... that's the text and the phone number. The email, bobshow@wgnradio.com. I wanted to acknowledge an email, if I can find it here. Just a minute. I have it over here. Thanks. Here it is. This was from CW in Chicago. Hi, Bob. I'm blind and heard you talk about the documentary about the poisons in our foods from years ago. I found it listed on the National Library of Congress talking book. Downloadable books. The opening was enough to get my attention. I kept saying, wow, thanks for the suggestion. Yeah, that was that show, that documentary on the doctor who kind of was the first person to sort of look at what we were eating and drinking. And he, with the Department of Agriculture and the FDA, what was it called? The Poison Squad? I think that was the documentary. It was an American Experience documentary based on a book. And it was amazing. It was amazing. If you think we have trouble now with some foods, it was a lot worse. And thanks to this one doctor, it got a lot better quick. So, CW, I'm glad you enjoyed that. And then we'll talk to Dean about this, because we have a number of texts about the Joaquin Phoenix speech. And we were kind of having a little fun with it early this morning. But a lot of people liked what he said. A lot of people got it. And a lot of folks were really pointing out that he was saying something really meaningful and understandable, even when he got to the cow talk, which is where I lost him. But we'll see what Dean thought about that. And I think he predicted most of the winners. There weren't too many surprises, except Parasite kind of surprised a lot of people by really sweeping. I think everybody thought it would be a 1917 sweep. I haven't seen that movie yet. Have you guys seen that movie?
I saw it. It's really good.
That's what everybody says. I have to see that. Parasite was the first non-English language film to win Best Picture in the 92-year history of the Academy Awards. It won for Best Director, Best International Film, which is the new name for Best Foreign Film, and Best Screenplay as well. All of the acting winners went as expected. Brad Pitt, Renee Zellweger, Joaquin Phoenix, and Laura Dern. And it was a pretty slick show, pretty well-produced show, and it moved along. Although, again, I don't need that show to be slick. I need the show to be long and kind of a good form for actors and actresses to go on forever. I would do away with the time limit on the speeches because it can get good if they go on too long. And isn't that what we watch for, embarrassing moments? There weren't too many of those last night. Were
nobody
there?
Tripped over their dress or anything exciting like that.
Yeah. You know,
No problems with the outfits.
No. And, you know, we replayed that very funny opening monologue with Steve Martin and Chris Rock. And if you just heard it and didn't see it, when they really went off on Jeff Bezos, he kind of almost cringed at home. But he put on a good act. If he wasn't really enjoying it, he sure looked like he was laughing through that, even the jokes about his divorce. That was pretty good.
Yeah, they kept going. They didn't let loose with him.
No, they didn't.
But the package line was funny. I like to get my packages on time.
Right. Steve Martin didn't want to add to the insults.
Yeah, let's stop right now.
Yeah, right. All right. More from Dean Richards and all that. That's coming up after our 8 o'clock news, which will be next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Good morning to you, and thanks for the ride. It's 8:09, and we're going to check in with Dean Richards, who I think is happy this morning because, you know, he has to get up early to do his entertainment report on the WGN-TV morning news and also talk with us. And last night's Oscars did not go until like 11 o'clock at night, like it usually has gone. Things were over before 10:30. So I guess that made you smile, didn't it, Dean?
I am not complaining. I said it last year. I'll say it this year. We do not need a host for the Oscars.
No, we don't.
I think it's perfectly entertaining without. It moves along faster. It was a very entertaining show last night.
And people are talking about that, and we played the routine back a little while ago. Steve Martin and Chris Rock were the best, weren't they?
I thought they were very funny. They were kind of quasi-hosts. They were the first ones, after the musical opened, they were the first ones to come out. They're both former Oscar hosts, so it made sense for them to be out there. But it was a quick little, 2-3 minutes, something like that. It was over with, and they got to the first award. Didn't drag on. Do you want to hear a little bit more of them?
Well, yeah, let's hear a little bit because it's so nice you want to hear it twice. And the reaction of the people in the audience when they were kind of riffing on them was good too. Especially Jeff Bezos trying to laugh, and you know he convinced us he took it in good stride.
Here's a few little highlights.
We both have hosted the Oscars before, and this is such an incredible demotion.
Ford versus Ferrari is nominated. I got a Ferrari. It ain't even close.
A couple of years ago, there was a big disaster here at the Oscars where they accidentally read out the wrong name, and it was nobody's fault, but they have guaranteed that this will not happen this year because the Academy has switched to the new Iowa Caucus app.
Mahershala Ali's here tonight. Mahershala. You know what that means when the cops pull him over? Nothing.
They were both very, very funny last night. They did a good job. But the you know, the big headline of this morning is Parasite winning, kind of dominating. They took home more awards than any other motion picture last night, four in all. Everybody was a little bit surprised that they won Best Picture, although, you know, some people, it was their pick for favorite movie. But, you know, statistically, all the predictors, all the indicators were leaning and showing that 1917 was going to win, so that was a big surprise. Same thing for Sam Mendes directing 1917. All the indicators were leading toward that, so it was a big surprise that Bong Joon-ho, who directed Parasite, wound up winning that. He also took Best Original Screenplay and also Best Foreign Language Movie. The movie made history last night because it is the first non-English language film to win Best Picture. That has never happened before. Six times before, a foreign language film was also nominated for Best Picture, but this is the first time that it's ever happened. And everyone's been asking me on social media, how can you win Best Picture if you already won Best Foreign Language Movie? It's the same way that movies that were animated won Best Picture. Best Picture is Best Picture. It's you know, the big kahuna of the whole thing, so certainly it's possible. The acting awards all went pretty much as everybody thought. Renee Zellweger for Judy, Joaquin Phoenix for Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, Laura Dern for Marriage Story, Brad Pitt for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Do you want to take a break before we hear from them? Or do you want to hear a little first?
Well, let's take a quick break and then, but tell me first on your social media, what's the reaction to the Joaquin Phoenix speech?
Everyone thinks he's a little nutty. That it was a little bit all over the place. But as far as Joaquin Phoenix speeches go, it was, you know, somewhat reserved.
Yeah, it was.
It almost, you know, called for redemption, that he said that he was a scoundrel and that he knows that he did wrong and he appreciates that people have forgiven him. And then he gives that beautiful quote from his brother River Phoenix, who died at a nightclub in Los Angeles. And, you know, how do you not like a guy who's, you know, quoting his late brother and bringing that kind of emotion into the whole thing? So I think overall on social media, not any huge major things. Probably more people were complaining. You know, some people were complaining about Brad Pitt.
Being
political right off the bat, saying, yeah. Oh, I only have 45 seconds, which is 45 seconds more than they gave John Bolton last week at the Senate hearings. So about half the people on my social media were saying, how dare he be political? And about half were saying, yay for Brad Pitt.
Yeah,
yay for having the courage to say that.
That's how it goes.
So that's how it goes.
Yeah. I feel bad now that I was really making a major fun of the Joaquin Phoenix speech earlier this morning, because when he got to the cow and the calf, it kind of kind of lost me. But
yeah.
I guess when taken as a whole and in the context of other Joaquin Phoenix speeches, yeah, maybe it wasn't so crazy after all.
Oh, he's been 1,000% nuttier than yeah. he was last night. So if you go by the Joaquin sliding scale, it wasn't so bad last night.
More from Dean Richards on the Oscars coming right up. Dean, I was listening to you here on the radio yesterday, and you mentioned that the best speech, and this was probably the best speech of the whole weekend, was actually Saturday night at the Spirit Awards, Adam Sandler. I haven't heard that yet. I hear it was pretty good, though.
And a little on the naughty side. That's why I didn't play it yesterday. We didn't have time to fix it and clean it up a little bit.
I'll have to Google that.
But, that's what I suggest anyone do. But he won. This movie, Uncut Gems, that he's in, is so good. And I think was the big snub of the entire award season, that he did not get nominated for an Academy Award is beyond me. That his film didn't get nominated is beyond me. But he did win. The movie won Best Director at the Independent Spirit Awards. And Adam Sandler won Best Male Actor in an independent film last night. And his acceptance speech is very Happy Gilmore if it were X-rated.
Okay.
Yeah, so
I got it.
There's all that. Also, over the weekend, the Razzie nominations came out while we're talking about things that happened over the weekend. Normally, they announce the winners of the Razzie Awards just before the Oscars, but because the Oscars were so early in the season this year, they announced the nominations. They're going to announce the winners later on. But everyone will be happy to hear that the movie Cats got the most nominations for worst film of the year. I'm guessing it's going to be a landslide win when they finally do announce the winner.
Well, you know what? There's a lot of talk about that movie already, and most of it's not good.
Yeah, one of the moments in the Oscars last night was when James Corden and Rebel Wilson were presenting an award. You know, they introduce them and they walk out in their costumes from Cats.
Yeah.
And, you know, the crowd went wild. They were laughing hilariously that, you know, that they were spoofing their own movie. And then when they finally did speak, they said that they were introducing the award for Best Visual Effects. They said, you know, being the two representative cast members of the movie Cats, nobody understands great visual effects more than we do, which was one of the major problems of the movie Cats. Good for them.
Funny stuff. Yeah. And what struck you as far as acceptance speeches last night?
There were some nice ones. Joaquin Phoenix, as I said, was, you know, it wound up being very thoughtful. Renee Zellweger was very thoughtful. Speeches from Brad Pitt, who won his first Academy Award for acting. He'd won one previously for producing the film 12 Years a Slave. And Laura Dern, thanking her parents. We have a little montage of those.
And though Judy Garland did not receive this honor in her time, I am certain that this moment is an extension of the celebration of her legacy that began on our film set.
I'm grateful, but so many of you in this room have given me a second chance. And I think that's when we're at our best. When we support each other, not when we cancel each other out for past mistakes, but when we help each other to grow, when we educate each other, when we guide each other towards redemption.
I'm not one to look back, but this has made me do so, and I think of my folks taking me to the drive-in to see Butch and Sundance and loading up my car and moving out here, and Gina and Ridley giving me my first shot, to all the wonderful people I've met along the way to stand here now. Once upon a time in Hollywood, ain't that the truth?
Some say, never meet your heroes, but I say if you're really blessed, you get them as your parents. I share this with my acting heroes, my legends, Diane Ladd and Bruce Dern. The category has a new name now, from Best Foreign Language to Best International Feature Film. I'm so happy to be its first recipient under the new name.
Thank you. I will drink until next morning. Thank you.
Yeah. That he could say without an interpreter.
Yeah. He seems like such a likable guy.
I would
director.
Like to know more about the interpreter now. She was on stage more than anybody else last night.
Yes, she was. And Elton John last night took home an Oscar with Bernie Taupin.
Yeah, this was nice. It was very cool to see both of them up there on the stage together. Their song from the motion picture Rocket Man, which to me was another one of the big snubs of the year, that should have gotten a little more love. The song I'm Gonna Love Me Again that Elton performed on the show last night wound up winning Best Original Song. I thought the show last night was very strong musically, including Billie Eilish, who did a performance last night. Take a listen.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine?
Yeah.
Well, clearly that was not Billie Eilish that started the montage off. That was Janelle Monáe, who opened the show last night. She was great. We heard from Cynthia Erivo, who played Harriet Tubman in the movie Harriet. She sang her song. She had that beautiful operatic high note. Idina Menzel was a part of the montage. And there you just heard some Eminem. That was a complete surprise. Nobody knew that he was going to perform. They were doing a tribute to songs from the movies. And they brought him out, and he sang his Oscar-winning song, Lose Yourself, from 2003, when his song was nominated and won. Eminem didn't show up for the Oscars. So, you know, better late than never. 17 years later, he shows up for the Academy Awards. And it sounded good. The audience, you know, everybody seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah, they seemed to know the song, didn't they? And then last night, also, someone who was a graduate of Loyola Academy in Wilmette walked off with an Oscar.
Yeah, usually, you know, we have one or two big Chicago wins. And I guess the Chicago win last night was a gentleman named Matthew A. Cherry. He and his co-producer, Karen Rupert Tolliver, delivered the best animated short movie of the year. That's called Hair Love, which is a story about an African-American father who has to figure out how to do his daughter's hair for the first time. He lived on Lawrence Avenue on the Northwest Side. As you say, went to Loyola Academy and gave a really nice speech as well.
Hair Love was done because we wanted to see more representation in animation. We wanted to normalize black hair. There's a very important issue that's out there. It's the Crown Act. And if we can help to get this passed in all 50 states, it will help stories like DeAndre Arnold, who's our special guest tonight, stop to happen. This award is dedicated to Kobe Bryant. May we all have a second act as great as his was. Thank you.
Nice tribute to Kobe, and congratulations to Matthew Cherry for winning Hair Love. A documentary feature, everyone's always interested in that. Really good film called American Factory that's about a factory in Ohio that was being run by Chinese investors. The film won last night. This is the first film that comes from the production company that is run by one Barack and Michelle Obama. So their first film out of the box for Netflix was a big, huge hit. What else can I tell you? Other, you know, other categories. Oh, best animated movie. Everybody was wondering about that. It wound up being Toy Story 4. As I say, when you have a Pixar movie in the bunch, it's pretty hard to beat. And I thought Toy Story 4 was great. The other films were also very good, but, you know, I love me a Toy Story movie. So.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Yeah, one thing nice now, you hear about the winners for documentary, short subject, live action short film, animated short film, and now you can probably see them all easily because they're all streaming somewhere, aren't they?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I don't know where some of these films, if they're on Hulu or YouTube, or Netflix or Amazon or wherever they are, but they are not hard to find with a quick Google search. And, you know, you can check all these movies out. This is a perfect time to check out, you know, the Oscar winners now.
Yep.
Because we, you know, the next couple of weeks, are the new movies coming out are still going to be a little bit slim, a little bit shaky. So now is a good time to check out some of these quality films. If you haven't seen Parasite, highly recommend it. I liked it quite a bit. My pick for Best Picture and Director was 1917. I think, technically speaking, 1917 was the better made film. But the Academy voters went for this completely unique film, Parasite, over the technical prowess of 1917. Both are very, very good. If you haven't seen them, definitely check them out.
Dean Richards, we'll talk to you again tomorrow, Dean.
All right. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. A little broadcast news that caught my eye this morning. Eric Robey and Suzanne Boyd were on the air together for almost 20 years and became popular co-anchors in West Palm Beach, Florida, WPEC-TV. But by 2018, they both had enough. They didn't like the negativity of daily broadcast news. And it felt to them like easy reporting that did not affect a large audience. what with the crimes and so forth. So when their contracts were up, they left, went their separate ways. Eric Roby went to real estate. Suzanne Boyd started her own production company, and they dabbled in Facebook Live. And then last spring, they met and had an idea to start their own show called Rise and Live with Roby and Suze. And they started doing this Facebook Live show every Friday morning from an art gallery in Delray Beach, Florida. They had a live audience, an open bar, regular features like Can We Do It, where they'd go to local businesses and try to do other people's jobs. And then all of a sudden, they got 10,000 viewers. That was their average viewership on Facebook Live each Friday episode. They started making money, getting commercials. Everybody loved it. And then something unexpected happened. Boyd and Roby's former general manager at that television station in Florida, WPEC, reached out and offered them a chance to go back on television. So given the fact that they were on that station, a CBS affiliate for a dozen years, it seemed like a natural fit. So they turned morning hosts, agreed to come back, and they chose the same Friday morning time slot for their online show. And lo and behold, the weekly TV show's debut episode did well in the ratings, but they didn't want to give up Facebook Live, so they continued doing that. And now they're doing Facebook Live, and they're back on TV. Now, this is something that I'll be thinking about when Marianne and I do our Facebook Live cast. We usually do that sort of after dinner, Monday through Thursday night. You never know. Eric Roby and Suzanne Boyd, living happily ever after now, thanks to Facebook Live. It's a new world out there.
It's a brand new world with so many ways to reach an audience.
Yes, that's right. More people than ever are watching screens, not necessarily television screens, though. They're watching thousands of different channels from thousands of different sources. And I know when we do our Facebook Live, and by the way, if you want to watch that, you can go to Facebook. It's facebook.com/Sarat and Murciano. And we hear from a lot of WGN listeners. And then, lo and behold, and this is the part that really gets me, we have a one iPhone set up on a tripod and then another smartphone so we can do an Instagram Live at the same time we do Facebook Live. And we hear from people, not only Chicagoans and transplanted Chicagoans around the country, but people have found us in Hawaii and Australia. It's crazy. And then every once in a while, I look at some of the comments coming from all over the country and all over the world, and then I look at, like, two little phones on a couple of tripods and think there was a time when the only way to have accomplished this would have been to get, like, gigantic mobile units parked out in front of your place. So
satellite truck right on front of your house.
Yeah, that's right. It's 8:42 right now. Everything you need to know about NBA All-Star Weekend in Chicago. That's coming right up. Some good news in the weather department. Have you noticed this? It's getting lighter later, and I saw a chart on this today. Sunset tonight, 5:18, and then at the end of this month, the sunset will be 5:40. Of course, and then the sunrise is going to get earlier. This morning, sunrise, not that we see the sun anymore in Chicago, was 6:55 a.m., and by the end of the month, it'll be 6:26. It's Valentine's Day Friday. It's NBA All-Star Weekend. Let's talk about that. I know about Valentine's Day, but let's find out if we can get into any of these events this weekend with the NBA All-Star Weekend here. Kara Bachman is the executive director of the Chicago Sports Commission. Kara, you know Andy Mazur, sitting in for Dave Ennett on the sports desk today.
Yep. Hi.
How's it going?
All right. Hey, how are you?
We have many questions, and they're all kind of centered around this. How do we get in to these events? What events can we get into? What can you tell us?
Yeah, no, thanks you guys for having me. We're super excited to have the All-Star Game back because it's not been here for a while. So everybody, as you mentioned, is interested on what to do, where to go, how to see their favorite players, of which I assure you there will be many. One of the things I'm really excited about is NBA Crossover, which is taking place at Navy Pier starting on Friday. And it'll go Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That will be taking place in conjunction with Junior MBA programming. So it will be jam-packed with people, and there will be activations, family activities, but then a whole lineup of celebrities, autographs, player appearances, panel discussions. And it's really what the NBA does is bring together fashion, music, art, and a whole lifestyle event to really reach all different types of people.
And that's a $20 ticket?
That's a $20 ticket, yeah, at Navy Pier. So that runs, like I said, starting on Friday. At 2 p.m. it opens on Friday, and then is goes all weekend, and there will be musical performances. A lot of local Chicago talent will be there to showcase our Year of Chicago Music and, introduce a lot of people to all that we have to offer.
Can we get into anything else this weekend?
No, that's it. All right. No, I'm kidding. There's really things taking place across the city. And another group who I'm sure you're familiar with, but the National Basketball Retired Players Association comes out in full force. And they're, of course, an official partner of the NBA and, in fact, headquartered in Chicago.
You know, it's amazing to think. You mentioned it hadn't been here in a while. That's 1988 was the last time that the All-Star Game was in Chicago at the old stadium, which is a parking lot now.
Yeah.
Just all the work that goes into it now, because you have to showcase the city, first of all, and there's other events besides. It used to just be the skills competition on Saturday and the game on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another additional event is the Rising Stars event that takes place on Friday. And that is, of course, all of the rookies, the up-and-comers in the league. Unfortunately, there's an injury with Wendell Carter, so he won't be representing our team, but that did mean that Zion snuck in there. So yeah, he will be playing at the United Center on Friday, and that tickets are still available for Friday night's Rising Star at the United Center, and Chicago's very own Taylor Bennett will be the halftime performance. Other Chicago musicians being showcased that evening, including Chicago Children Choir, to sing the anthem. So that would be another great opportunity for people to see what's going on at the United Center.
And what do you tell people who say, I want to see the game, I need to get a ticket?
I would say it is on TNT.
And we're in Chicago, right? So it's almost like you're there.
I think there is some tickets still on sale. Very few. I would check out
StubHub?
Online.
StubHub?
I would stay clear of StubHub. But I would,
too much money?
Yeah, maybe try United Center box office.
Okay, we'll do that. And then do we know anything more about the Kobe Bryant tributes for this weekend?
Well, I know that they, of course, will be celebrating him, and I'm sure they will for years and years and years to come.
Sure.
And they haven't shared publicly what the whole plans are going to be. I know there will be something in venue, but then certainly with the Legends Brunch, which is another kind of red carpet show that happens on Sunday morning, that they will definitely be celebrating Kobe Bryant and his daughter at that event.
And aside from the Navy Pier, is there a place where people, even if they can't get into an event, can't get into a venue, is there a place where people can go and see a lot of these celebrities and NBA stars?
Yeah, that's just getting back to the National Basketball Retired Players. They're having a number of events with legends across the city that are ticketed and otherwise. There's a number of events taking place really throughout the neighborhoods, things with Nike and Puma and other sponsors that are focused towards youth and bringing kids together and obviously using the sport of basketball for all the good that it can do.
And is there one place to go online where we can get all the information we need about everything NBA All-Star Weekend has?
Yes, I would highly recommend downloading the NBA Events app. It is super helpful. I even reference it frequently. But in terms of maps, how to get to places, where's the best entry point to what is a schedule of events, how to get tickets for things that are available, I would definitely, yes, NBA Events app on Google or
and
Apple.
Saturday night, the All-Star Saturday night, the State Farm All-Star Saturday night at the United Center, can we get into that? Is that sold out too?
I think so. That is my favorite event, and I would assume that that would go pretty quickly. That is going to be a very, very fun evening. But again, you can watch it. It's on TNT.
Really?
Tell that to my daughter. He's driving me crazy. And the All-Star Practice, now that's the media day on Saturday, right?
Right.
At Wintrust Arena.
Right.
9:30 a.m. practice starts at noon.
Yep.
Who's that open to?
There were tickets for that event, and I would, based on the capacity there, I believe that sold out. I would say that there's another great event that's taking place at Wintrust that's free and open to the public, which is the USA Women's National Basketball Team, who will be representing us in the Olympics. They're going to have a practice and scrimmage. I believe it's at 2 p.m. at Wintrust Arena, and I would, yeah, that's on Saturday. I would highly encourage people to attend that. It'll be great showcase of talent.
So what you're saying, it's going to be a busy weekend for you.
It's going to be busy, yes.
I think
yes.
So. The game itself, the NBA All-Star Game, 69th annual, 7 o'clock on Sunday night at the United Center and on TNT.
That's correct.
Okay. And
I don't work for them, by the way.
Kara, give that info again for people who want a breakdown of all these events and ticket information and so forth.
Yep. I would encourage everyone to download NBA Events app, which has everything you want to know about how to get, where to go, event times, schedules, where there's player appearances, etc. So I would really go there, NBA Events app.
And if one were to go on StubHub or in the secondary market and look for tickets to the game on Sunday night, what do you think they'd be going for about now? Huh? Anybody
have
a guess?
I have honestly just purposely not even looked.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to look.
It's a couple grand.
I would say that.
Oh, okay,
I would be
my
really
daughter
careful
have no problem with
for,
that
for people going that route, just because of how coveted the ticket is. And I know, with the interest and with representing and celebrating Kobe, just people have really tried to get tickets, and hope no one is taken advantage of.
Okay, Joe, the engineer here, brought this in from. Is this from StubHub, Joe, or just different?
Joe is fast.
Pardon me.
He's quick.
Oh,
I guess he also has
SeatGeek. SeatGeek. Okay, yeah, these are there's tickets available, and they're all kind of in the there's some that are down in the $500 range.
Hmm. Okay,
and then
that's a parking pass, maybe.
Yeah, they're not great seats, and there's more up closer to the $1,000 range. So there you go. I don't think that. I'm just going to give this sheet to my daughter.
I was going
to
say,
stop bugging me. Here you go. Do you have any money? All right. Thanks a lot for the NBA All-Star Weekend preview. Kara Bachman, Executive Director of the Chicago Sports Commission. Certainly a great thing for our city, isn't it?
Yes, we're really excited. Thank you guys so much for having me. And you can watch Crossover right from here. You're right over Navy Pier.
Oh, you know what? That's right.
Bring some binoculars. You're good.
Yeah. I'll charge like $50 for people to come up here to our studio and look out the window and see the outside of Navy Pier. That'll be good. Listen to that. They're playing me off here. John Williams is coming up.
You're going way over. Wrap it up.
As a tribute to Parasite, John's doing his show in Korean. So
I thought that
we'll be listening.
She got an Oscar last night. Wasn't she terrific?
Yeah, she apparently is in the film business. I believe she's a director.
She was really, really good last night. I thought it was all pretty dang good last night. You see, the Sun-Times is endorsing Kim Fox. That's the courage of your convictions. We'll talk to the guy that wrote the editorial and why they are doing that. We'll talk a little bit more about the Oscars. And if somebody you're having dinner with drastically under tips, what do you do? These and other earth-shattering issues on the John Williams Show.
That's why
stick around.
We don't reveal that on the bill. We hide that when we sign the credit cards.
When we throw them in, my friend and I usually don't share with each other because I think I overtip. I think he undertips. I think we both know it. So it's best we don't look.
Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.